When I was a kid back in the 50s, I was maybe 8 or 9 years old. The one toy that I wanted more than anything else in the world was an electric football game. I dropped subtle hints to my parents and spent the few months leading up to my birthday filled with hope that I would get this amazing gift. Does anyone remember this toy? Yeah, I thought, oh my. It was made by Tudor Metal Products, and it consisted of a metallic board decorated to resemble a football field, plus 22 little metal figures to place atop the field. Beneath the playing field was a motor, which caused the board to vibrate at the flip of a switch. These vibrations moved the players around the field, usually in all different directions. One of the players, the quarterback, had a moving arm, and you would put this tiny cloth thing that was supposed to be a football in the arm and then launch it into play. I don't remember the rules very well after all these years, but chaos ensued right, on this metal board as a combination of magnetism and luck helped the football figures move the ball to and fro. Now, as many of you undoubtedly know, the game had a lot of problems. There was limited control over the players. The quarterback had as much accuracy and control in his throws as an infant. And the player figures would sometimes wobble around in circles if their bases became the slightest bit damaged. And after every play, it would take forever to set up all the figures in formation to run the next play. So after about maybe 2 weeks of playing the game, I grew tired of it. It was tedious and not very exciting, and I really wondered why I wanted the darn thing in the first place. Here I had hoped and hoped for weeks leading up to my birthday, and the result was disappointing. My life hadn't changed, and I kind of wasted a good birthday present. I tell you this opening story to point out that while our lives are filled with hope, while hope is so essential to our being, sometimes hope hurts. Sometimes hope disappoints. Now, I realize that giving a sermon on hope is not supposed to start out this way. I'm really okay with hope. It gets us through difficult times. It helps us to get up in the morning. It enables us, as Desmond Tutu wrote, to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. And Martin Luther King counseled us on accepting finite disappointment, but never losing infinite hope. So I get hope. And further, I believe that the absence of hope is not hopelessness. It is desolation. Without hope, we give up. We resign ourselves to an existence devoid of joy and wonder and faith and, yes, electric football games. So I'm good with hope. But here's the thing. Hope alone is not enough. Hope needs action. And action needs hope. Hope and action are linked in an eternal dance that all human beings engage in. And we, as Unitarian Universalists, dance as well. Our faith calls us to be positive and optimistic and to believe in the promise of a better world. Our principles compel us to take action to realize that world. Hope and action, they need each other. There is, of course, the kind of hope that does not involve action, those things over which we have no control. For example, I hope that my great aunt recovers from the effects of her fall. I hope that we don't get a lot of snow next winter. I hope that the Brewers win the World Series this year. I'm just trying to get on your good side, actually. And I hope that the Eagles win the Super Bowl next year. Okay, easy come, easy go. I got it. But for most of the things that we hope for in our lives, the unwillingness or inability to take action leaves us empty or disappointed or simply inert. Hence the quote from Sir Francis Bacon, "Hope is a good breakfast, but it is a bad supper." We begin our day with hope, full of promise, and it feeds and nourishes us as we go about our lives. But in the end, if all we are left with is hope, it provides for a meager feast to end our day. If hope floats, it does so only when it is followed by action. Hope is wishing on a star. Action is working to make our wishes come true. We need hope in our lives, if only as a catalyst. Hope rises out of a yearning, a cry for something new or better. As Moltmann tells us in the opening reading, hope causes not rest but unrest, not patience but impatience. It does not calm the unquiet heart, but is itself the unquiet heart in all of us. So hope is the starting point that spurs us to do something. One hopes to repair a broken marriage and so seeks marital counseling. Another hopes to take that long-awaited vacation in Hawaii and so seeks a second job over the holidays to earn extra income. A third hopes to lose weight and so joins a gym or Weight Watchers or simply walks around the high school track a couple of times each night. Still another hopes for a return to normalcy and morality in our nation's capital and so seeks to run for office or demonstrates in the streets or canvasses door to door or donates money to a political campaign. Hope, in order to mean something, has to be tangible. It needs to impact on our lives and the lives of others in a way that makes a difference. Theologian Paul Waddell puts it this way: hope has to be seen to be believed. It has to be made visible. It has to be something we can feel and touch. We are called to be persons who embody hope for one another. We have to be each other's partners in hope. So in the Wonderbox story that I related this morning, Ben does not merely hope that Joanna recovers. He makes hope tangible by creating something upon which the young girl can pin her hopes. He paints a leaf on the window, a visible embodiment of his hope for her recovery. And sometimes, making hope tangible means that we have to lean into our pain. My son, I am proud to say on this Father's Day, is a physical therapist. He tells me that when someone comes in for PT, after having a knee replacement, for example, the tendency is for the patient to keep the knee immobile because moving it can cause intense pain. But the only remedy, the only way to effectively rehab the knee is to move it, to lean into the pain. So merely hoping that the knee will get better after surgery is not sufficient. One must experience pain, take action, in order to turn hope into reality. And if hope inspires action, doesn't it follow that action inspires hope? The author and activist Cornel West, along with a colleague Roberto Unger, contend that hope is not the condition or cause of action, but rather hope is the consequence of action. As they see it, when we lose hope, we take action. And that restores our sense of hope in a better world. We take action, or a better life, or a better tomorrow. So maybe this interrelationship of hope and action is not linear, but it's rather circular. I hope, I act, I have renewed hope, I act again, and so on. In the late 1990s, I was burned out in a job that I had held for 13 years. I was hoping for something to change. My tyrannical boss would get off my back. My problem employees would decide to go work for another agency. My energy and creativity would suddenly return. I was in a rut, and I was deeply unhappy. When I realized that hope alone was not going to get me out of this, I decided to take action. I was invited by a member of my home congregation to attend a self-improvement seminar conducted by a group called Landmark Forum. The seminar lasted all weekend, and it was pretty intense. As a result of that experience, I looked at myself and my life and my values in an entirely new way. I was given renewed hope, and I could find my calling, and that it wasn't too late to make a difference in the world. A few months later, filled with hope, I left my job and started my own business. That led me to adventures I never would have dreamed possible, including 7 exciting and life-changing years as a staff member of the Unitarian Universalist Association. My hope called me to act, and taking action gave me renewed hope, which in turn inspired me to take further action. As Unitarian Universalists, we are called to translate our hope into action. It is part of our legacy. UU leader Takiya Amin reminds us that Unitarian Universalism calls us to work toward building a sustainable, equitable context for all of us to live and thrive. If we embrace and believe in our principles, he says, we can't sit idly by in the absence of those ideals in our society. And he challenges us with this statement: if you aren't called to act in, on, and through our principles, maybe you shouldn't call yourself a Unitarian Universalist. It's kind of like asking the metaphysical question: if a Unitarian Universalist falls in the forest and there's no one to hear it, does it make a sound? Or maybe more appropriately, the old joke: if you were arrested and charged with being a Unitarian Universalist, would there be enough evidence to convict you? In today's deeply, deeply troubling and disturbing world, where the stakes are so high, we cannot just hope that things will get better. We need to follow up that hope with action. For my part, which I'd like to share with you, last year I was actively involved in the campaign of a woman who was running for state representative in my district and attempting to flip a district that had been Republican and male for longer than most of us could remember. She won, and I plan to be an active member of her campaign next year. I have also had the experience of working with an interfaith organization called FUSE, F-U-S-E, in my home county near Philadelphia. The purpose of FUSE, which stands for the Fellowship of Urban-Suburban Engagement, is to deepen relationships across racial, ethnic, religious, and geographic lines, and to create a shared sense of destiny and purpose among all people in the city of Chester, one of the poorest cities in the country, and the surrounding suburbs. I know that I can't just hope that things will get better in Chester. I need to put my hope into action through participation in community events, donating money to the cause, and working with the FUSE Steering Committee to develop a strategic plan as they move forward with their important work. We as Unitarian Universalists are compelled by our principles to give each other hope. As the hymn goes, which I'm sure is familiar to you after last month, I'll bring you hope when hope is hard to find. I believe that all of us as Unitarian Universalists need to figure out how we're going to dance this dance with hope and action. It is a decision that we can only make for ourselves. For me, while not a particularly good dancer, I will attempt at least to stay on the dance floor, to hope for better things, and to do what I can to make things better. And now that I think about it, I might still have that electric football game in my attic. I'll have to get it down and give it another try. I hope it's up there. So may it be.